This is Cloistered Away, a podcast for mothers, homeschoolers, and women eager to develop a rich family culture within their homes. Here, we move against the modern hustle and cultural noise to slow down and consider how to live with wisdom, beauty, and joy in the various places in which God has set us. I'm your host, Bethany Douglas, the voice behind the Cloistered Away website and Substack. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Cloistered Away podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the heart and specifically how to govern your heart as being the center of your home and the starting point for your home. I'm joined again by my husband, Mark.
Can I say hello? Hi, yeah, I'm here. The fun part about doing a podcast at 9:15 in the morning is that you don't really know where this podcast is going. So I'm here for the ride.
And it's true. I think this is part of the point in doing this together is I could communicate a lot of these ideas just from my voice, but I think it's helpful. We're trying to bring people into some of the conversations that we have regularly, just as we're having morning coffee or when we're going to bed. I imagine that you guys have similar conversations in your home. So we hope that it's helpful just kind of having ears into our household and how we have raised our family and it within our marriage. So today we're going to talk about the heart because really it is central. We live out of this place we live out of what we know. We live out of our experience. We live out of, and a lot of the things that we bring into our marriages, a lot of the ideas that influence our thinking, are relating with one another in marriage, are relating with our children, are relating inside of our house, begin with our own governing of the heart.
Yeah. And you keep using the word heart, but a lot of times people talk about that in terms of the soul, which is just a different way of describing it. You know, in most of Christian history, when we talk about the soul, we're talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. And all of these things are being brought under the command of Christ Jesus. Our wills are being sublimated and brought into obedience. Our minds are being transformed. Our emotions are supposed to come in line with what we know is true. But a shorthand way of talking about that soul is to talk about the heart.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we hear like the heart of the home, we think of sentimentality. We think of this emotion or we think of this place of comfort, and it can be those things, but that's only really one aspect. The heart in scripture, when you hear it in the ancient Hebrews use the word heart, really speaking to the inner person. And the ancient Greeks actually talked about the tripartite soul, which is what Mark was just referencing, which is the thinking, the feeling, and the desiring parts of us. That all makes up these words, soul, heart. So as we're kind of maybe using those terms, soul or heart, interchangeably today, that we're talking about the inner person, how we think, how we feel, how we desire, and the ways that that influences, the ways that that has to be governed beginning in our own inner person, in our own place, as we are also relating with another person in marriage, as we are relating with other people in our children who have their own thinking, their own feeling, their own desiring parts.
Yeah, and there's a verse in Proverbs 4:23. Do you want to read that real quick?
Yep. It says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." That's Proverbs 4:23.
And I just think about that verse a lot when I think about the odds of having a successful marriage, having successful kids, a warm home full of wonder and delight and joy. All of that springs from what's going on in my heart, what's going on in your heart. Mm-hmm. That is ground zero, that nucleus, the interior part, that if that thing starts to get wobbly or go corrupted or starts to cherish lies or idols or whatever it is that's going on in our hearts, it's going going to have ramifications for marriage. It's going to have an impact, and there will be residual sort of like ripples on the pond that happen in my children, that happen in my local church, that happen in my business. So, yeah, I mean, it is true that from it all flow all of the springs of our lives.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when I have conversations with other women about marriage, about household, about homeschooling, or any of the topics that we want to talk about, we often want to talk about what we do. And it's because our days are filled with activities. We are very full and active people. Women have such tremendous capacity for such a diverse amount of things. So it's easy for us to become focused on those activities and looking for, well, if I just correct this habit, or if I just change this this study, or if I just do this differently, that will impact. And yes, our activities certainly do gear our hearts and have impact on our hearts. But I think it's difficult for us to sometimes talk about the soul or to talk about the heart and how to govern it because it's so abstract. And so it's easier for us to fixate on the actual activities of our days and kind of ignore the ways that our thinking might be impacting that activity, or the ways that our desires might change the way we relate in a certain moment to our children, or even to a specific activity within our home. So that's really why we're starting in talking about as women, and we're specifically, this is true for every person in the home. This is true for, woman, for man, for the children as they're growing up to be learning the skill of governing your heart and governing your soul. But we're talking specifically to the women right now, because that's my primary audience. But so what does this look like? What do you think it looks like for women? What do you think this looks like for women, for mothers to govern their home? Why do you think this might be important?
Well, the first thing I would say is that it's our present day. It's a lot easier to see a short video clip on five ways to maximize space in your kitchen versus here's five practices or ways that you can govern your soul so that that kitchen is full of joy and peace, right? Because of good, righteous order. Mm-hmm. Okay. We do, to your point about our modern world is really fast to give you five hot tips and never address the core, yes. Never address the nucleus, yeah. Never address the thing that actually is going to spread life all around you. So that's the first thing I would say.
Okay. So let's talk about some practicals, because I have, I have really dear friends to me who are always like, okay, Bethany, these ideas are really great, but how do I do this? And I know a lot of times because we are so geared towards material, we are so geared towards activity, towards productivity and action. I want to actually talk as concretely as I can about the soul. So first, we are speaking about this in governance of the soul. We are talking about specifically as we follow Christ. So this is a very kind of narrowing this conversation to talk more as a person who's looking to follow Christ in discipleship and personal discipleship, and then also translate that into their home and how they relate within marriage and how they relate with their children. So the first thing is actually, why is there so much emphasis on spending time with the Lord? Spending time with the Lord in the scriptures, spending time with the Lord in prayer, creating that quiet spot in your day. Why is that important?
Well, because it's essential to tending the soul. It's essential to health in the soul. We live in a very distracted moment. So when you have no cell phone and when you are having your quiet cup of coffee, this is a thing that you do every morning. You're always up before the sun is up and you are doing this sort of soil tending, long process, no immediate fruiting kind of process, which is your time in the scriptures, your time with a journal, your time in prayer. There's there is a lost art of this, I think, in a younger digital generation. Mm-hmm. And those activities sort of fall under spiritual disciplines as a way that everybody shorthands it. But really what is happening there is that you are starting a day slow. You are engaging with God. You are inviting His word into your heart to clean out, you know, the soiled bits, the swamplands of our heart, and repenting and prayerfully giving up burdens. You know, those are the sorts of activities that I think probably were just far more normative to previous generations.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is something that you go into any sort of local church anywhere and look for little old ladies and you ask them, how do you tend to your soul? They're probably going to say much the same thing. Mm-hmm. This is how you do that.
Yes. And I love talking about this from the position of the soul, because we are constantly growing, like that it is God's desire to make us like Him and to actually have an orientation to truth, to have an orientation to what is goodness, to have an orientation to what, you know, all the transcendentals of beauty. What is beauty? To see each of these things and beyond, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, to see these things existing in Christ.
Yeah. Second thing for sure is digital life and the smartphone works against the soul. It works against the activity of the Lord in a woman's heart, I suspect, in the same way that it works against men. It's a thing that has to be counteracted in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we think about what works against our formation, you know, to think we're in an information age that we think informationally. And so even sometimes when we think about discipleship or when we think about our personhood, we actually think about data. And even in homeschooling, this can be true, that we think about if we just study the right information, if we just have the right data points, we think about imprinting certain amounts of data onto one another, onto our soul, that's what would make it. If I just know the right things about God, or if I just know the right things about being a woman or about motherhood or marriage, that's going to actually change my behavior, or that's going to change the way that I relate. And whereas the Lord is interested in relating to us as people, that we are made in His image, that we bear His image, and He is transforming us to look like Him, which requires relational time. As Mark mentioned, I've often had that type of time first thing in the morning. It's when my brain is most alert and I think quiet. It's when my thoughts are the most lucid. And I think it's just because I haven't had all the external voices that kind of enter my day. But it's not the only time. I know that there are some women who are not morning people or who have that type of lucidity better at the end of the day. Or perhaps you're in a stage of life that you're, you know, working all sorts of hours and you're needing to kind of squeeze these little tidbits of time in the day, you know, a 10 minute here, a 10 minute there in the middle of your morning or your afternoon. That's fine. I think it can look differently, you know, finding these like moments of stillness and to actually quiet your heart, which means just to focus your thinking, to focus whatever emotional energy is happening, to focus whatever desires feel alive, you know, which might be anger or impatience, just as well as feeling like envy or joy, like just being able to focus that into your time with the Lord.
That's a wild thought that it might actually be later in the day for people. After 9 o'clock, I can't do basic arithmetic.
Yeah, we both tend to be most active in the morning, and kind of our energy kind of decreases during the day. So yeah. having conversations late in the evening, which has been one of the challenges of parenting teenagers.
A third practical, I would think, would be, you know, and ideally a husband would be initiating this, but if he isn't, I think it's entirely appropriate for a wife to say, I would like to pray with you at the start of a day or right before we click the lights out, to start or end days in prayer, one with another. And I know that this episode is not on husbands and marriage that's coming up, but this would be a key way of tending the soul. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes in prayer, like anxieties, depression thoughts, all those kinds of things kind of surface. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity for them to be on the surface so that they can be addressed, mm-hmm. Eliminated, prayed against, rebuked, any of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So having, you know, being in the scriptures, I think why I was emphasizing that so much is it becomes kind of a litmus for truth. It becomes a benchmark in a way that for what is true, in a way that a relativist culture does not. We live within a culture where there is no truth, and even defining terms can be very difficult. So we can easily, from external voices, be hearing a variety of different things that affect us that we don't even realize how or what to do with, or that we need to do something with it. So having and being filled with the scriptures to know this is who God says he is to me. This is who God is in this moment. It orients our hearts to that truth rather than having to do the reverse.
Yeah. The fourth thing I would think of is, not to think of this kind of work, soul work, as immediate result kind of work. It's the sort of thing where, yes, you can feel more settled or peaceful or have more resolve. There are these sort of short-term benefits to this kind of soul work. But the truth is that it's a long process. It's more like agriculture than anything that we're actually associated with today, like in our practical lives. It's the sort of thing where you look back 18 months later after implementing some of this and you start to realize, oh, the ramifications and the fruit of this are everywhere. And yet I can't on any Thursday afternoon necessarily point back to this slow, steady work as being the immediate fix to my instant problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on some practicals, obviously making some time, that was one kind of concrete thing in my rhythm that I think is actually really foundational to everything. It has been saving grace. It really is breath for me. And I think for women, it's why it's the very first thing that I encourage women into, to making that room and journaling. Especially if you're an internal processor, that can be helpful for just getting some of these internal narratives out onto the page. Perhaps you're an external processor and you need actually to be able to verbally process with someone. And that can happen in a variety of contexts with other people. But the point is that there are ways that our thinking is impacting. So even when we think about our family of origin, that if you have never experienced a loving father or a loving mother, then and you're trying to parent a child, you're trying to parent a child from something you've never experienced. So there's a part of your soul, the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you desire, that's still in formation and needing to receive because you're not pulling from even your own muscle memory in childhood. You're having to pull on something deeper and greater than you in the Lord in order to be able to offer that to your children. So this is one of the this is like just one example of many of the ways that our souls can become deformed or malformed, is through abusive childhoods or abusive experiences in formative years. So all of that is impacting and can be impactful, just as like when you've come from a very healthy home, that can also translate. You're pulling upon muscle memory in terms of your offering to other people. But maybe there's things about that still need refinement, because none of us are perfect. We're all growing together. And so you might have a stronger base to pull from because you've grown up with some picture, some glimpse of who God is in your parenting and the ways that you are parented, and you're wanting to pass that on to your children. It will still grow even as it comes through you to your children. It's such a blessing.
It's true. And also, imperfect parenting, which is the only kind of parenting there is, also creates the context for you to be returning back to the Lord again and again and again, and having his ways and his thoughts through the scriptures reform, reshape your mind. Mm-hmm. So
I think things to be on guard against, what forces can be working against the heart, your own heart, against your soul. Social media, Mark already mentioned, that's low hanging fruit. Now, is that to say social media is bad? No, there are a lot of beautiful things that people share in those spaces, but you have to weed through a lot of stuff to get there. And even in an age where things are suggested or plopped into your feeds when you haven't even requested them, even that is something that you're having to filter. You're having to wage war against, so to speak, in your soul. So if there are things that...
It does a subtle shaping work.
It does. Yeah. It does, like in very, very tiny ways, the way like a slow drip. So I think to be on guard about what it is you set before your eyes, the things that you set in your thinking, the voices that you're listening, the external voices you're listening to. And it's not that we have to get ourselves into an echo chamber and only be in a place where people are saying back to us the same exact things that we would say to them. That is not the point. But the point is to have a place of discernment when you are in listening to other people in the public, especially if you have no relational framework with them, if you have no relational bound to their life, to see the fruit of their own life, to just be careful about how those words are impacting you. And social media is, because it's applying all of our senses. It is coming to us, you know, auditory, it's coming through visually, it's coming through in the ways that we are speaking or maybe engaging or writing. So it's kind of approaching all of our senses, which means that it is having full impact on our soul in the ways that we do with humans. So I think that's one of the ways that is, again, a low-hanging fruit way to just be on guard and to be mindful.
I would say another practical would be evaluating what other voices are you listening to. Mm-hmm. If you have friendships that you notice, every time I hang out with her, I come away like with kind of slimed. I feel like I have some sort of ick on me. Well, that's a very important thing to be aware of.
To attend to.
And,
yes.
And it has soul ramifications, mm-hmm. as well. And you might need to mentally shift that person in your mind from this is an intimate confidant, somebody that I trust and share a lot with, versus, no, I need to like create some distance there. Mm-hmm. And I need to find other better voices for close, intimate relationships.
Mm-hmm. One of the books that I have really loved over the last few years is You Are What You Love by James K. Smith. And he actually talks about discipleship from a action perspective, that you are what you do, that we like to think about you are what you love, but that it is actually we do what we love. And so by these liturgies of activity in our life, so thinking about the sports programs we're a part of, or the ways that we read or watch TV, or, you know, all the myriads of ways that we expend our time in life, that all of those play out little liturgies in our lives that actually tell us something about our affections, that they tell us something about our loves. They tell us something about our soul. And so even to attend to, I would say for me, a red flag is when I find myself regularly wanting to watch TV or watch a movie. That's something for me. Like if I find myself kind of in a pattern of like, I just want to watch something, but I don't have a specific something that I'm wanting to watch. It's really just, I think that's my mode and way of saying, I just need to check out. I don't want to have to think. I don't want to have to do something. I just want to be able to kind of move away from the space. That is, if I find myself in this kind of pattern, that's a red flag for me that something is needing in my soul, that I like need some space actually for time with the Lord, but probably other things, just like time to be outdoors, time to like be, to slow myself down and attend to what's really at work here, to have a deeper reflection and ask myself some harder questions about, you know, what feels really hard? What does feel really exhausting in this moment? Where am I struggling? Is there something emotionally that is stress that feels very stressful? So I think giving yourself those times, it is a discipline, protecting that time for yourself. It's not just about cramming information about who God is into you. That is one aspect of reading the scriptures, is so that you are learning about God, because it tells you something about yourself too, about being made in his image. But the other part is that it just creates space for you to even identify areas that you feel weary, of places that you have need, of places that you have desire, of it kind of attunes yourself to things you're thinking about. Like, what are the narratives that are playing in your head? So it might bring places where you have felt offense or where you felt hurt, possibly by the people in your home, maybe by somebody outside of it. But social media, digital life, movies, our work can sometimes crowd that space that we don't give ourselves. And part of tending our soul and setting the atmosphere in our home for our family requires tending our hearts. It requires actually nurturing the space, because as we discussed at the very beginning, this is where the springs of life flow from.
Yeah, I was just going to return to that Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 verse, to keep your heart with all vigilance. This is one key area that you actually have dominion, power, authority over. You can do this in ways that a lot of the other variables of your life are very much out of your control often. You can't control quite a few situations in life. What you can do, though, is on the daily be submitting it back to the Lord and asking him to do that reforming work. Mm-hmm. So, well, that was a good episode.
Yeah.
We got it in under 30.
Yeah, I think we are, we're trying to keep these in the 20 to 30 minute range, just because we know time is valuable and we don't really want you to have to sift through our dronings of things, but we're trying to bring some things, just a few things each episode to you that we feel like might be a helpful nugget just in your own household and your own life.
So, very good. Mm-hmm. And also, I was just thinking that next episode, we're going to talk about husbands. So Stay tuned.
Great. We'll see you in 2 weeks.